Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Eliza Taylor, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's BUNEKE.org.
Well, it's Thursday night, folks, and you know what that means? That means Blabbermouth Mary is back again. I'm here with my co-host, Jean Albertson. How are you, my friend?
Howdy. How are you doing? Doing well, myself.
I'm good. I've been enjoying the thunderstorms down here in Florida. We've had those typical summer thunderstorms, and I revel in them. My plants are delighted. But yes. We're not here to talk about my plants or the storm. We're here to talk with Judith Hallwright. She's a youth activist, social worker, and an author. She has written more than one book, but tonight I want to talk with her about the audacity to be divine. How are you doing, Judith?
Very well. Thank you so much. And thank you, Mary and Jean, for having me on your show.
We're delighted.
Thanks for coming.
I mean, there's a lot we could talk about because You've got your mom's legacy, which is part of why you wrote The Audacity to Be Divine. Is that a novel or a biography?
It is a narrative, what I call a narrative biography, and it's written in the first person.
Because I read somewhere, I think it was in some of the correspondence, that it was a novel, and I thought, no, this doesn't sound like a novel.
No.
But you started a nonprofit.
Yes.
How long have you been working with Home of Champions?
So I started Home of Champions in 2015. We started programming in 2017. It's been a fantastic experience. The mission really is to focus on foster care youth that come out of a system that get to college on their own merit, and we screen for leadership. So it's a program for leadership for them and for support, for mentoring, for connecting with businesses, to give them self-confidence that they can do and achieve and reach their goals, because so many statistically, you know, a lot of them get into 26% nationally get into college, but here I'm here in New York State, only 3% graduate, and I think the statistics are pretty much the same nationally. Only 3% graduate. That's
makes sense,
a pretty low stat.
I know that the statistics for young adults who age out of the foster care system often age into homelessness.
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, kids that are youth that are coming out of the system, either in some states it's 18, and New York State is 21, if they're in college or they're in some kind of schooling. But they are discharged way too young. And you're right, Mary, as a result, One out of four are homeless. One out of four have financial difficulties. And 2 years after they're discharged, they are incarcerated in some form. And 2 years after they're discharged, females, you know, the girls have babies. So it's disastrous. We're kind of losing half our youth.
Yes.
That way, yeah. And it's disadvantaged youth. It's foster care youth and disadvantaged youth.
Well, thank you for what you're doing.
Yes.
I always want to stand up and salute another founder. I know how hard it is, but as I tell my co-founders, the beautiful thing and also the disadvantage that we have at Be Unique is we're not working with children or animals or hungry people or the veterans or homeless. We're not sending a rocket to Mars. We're not operating but what we do has merit as well. I'm not downplaying us in any stretch, but sometimes we all forget as a nonprofit, we think this is the most important thing in the world. And we often forget how to balance ourselves as a result. And when that happens, we have to bring each other back into reality and say, well, we're not doing rocket science or brain surgery here, so let's just back off and look at this from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But people are doing what you're doing. I definitely want to stand up and salute you. But then I'm too tall for the microphone to go with me, so you wouldn't hear me.
Well,
trying to tell everybody about what you're doing because it's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting that you say that because, you know, as I was an executive director in New York City of a foster care adoption agency, and I established programs there, but this is the program that I actually founded, but it's very difficult to start something. You know, startups are difficult. If you have the funding and the backing behind you, of course it works, but and it's easier to work for someone than just to, you know, to leave and start something. So that's the difference, I think, that I've experienced. Because
Gene hates pop quizzes, so I won't ask him the question that I typically would have said, hey, what do I always tell you, Gene? But I have constantly, over the last several months, said, Gene, just jump. Build your wings on the way down. Don't worry about whether you can fly or not. That's been the way, and I think that's kind of the entrepreneurial and philanthropic mindset. Maybe I don't know everything I need to know. Maybe I don't have everything in place, but I guarantee you if I start it, someone will come to help me in a very serendipitous way, kind of like the Field of Dreams. Build it and they will come.
Yes, and it will happen, exactly.
We've been around a little less than you have. We started in 2018, and I'm fascinated by the number of people that have come to help and stay with us and are willing to wait until we get a little bit farther down the line. And I know funding is never an easy thing for any nonprofit. But I do hope that you're finding the funding you need because what you're doing is so vital, so very important.
Yes, and especially what I found during this past more than a year now, it's 16 months, is that the pandemic has had such a, these kids had difficulties before the pandemic, but now, you can imagine this past year, the difficulties they had staying in school and, without maybe some of them without technology, without a mentor, and yet many of them do have the support of agencies, there's no doubt about it. And many agencies do keep them in care for a while, but I still think they're too young to leave the system at age 21. They should be in the system with a program, with either schooling, vocational schooling, up until age 26. And I know California is pushing to do that. There's several states that agree with that. Otherwise, they're pushed out into society. And it's been very difficult for people this year. And you can imagine how it is for kids that don't have any family. Basically, they have no mentor. and no aunt or uncle or mother or father that can really support them.
Yeah, it's hard enough when you have a supportive family. What the entire world went through this past year, like you said, 16 months, was hard on even the most stalwart and headstrong and, you know, willful people. But to have all the cards stacked against you and to be young, you know, a youngster, I can remember what my mental state was like when I was 18, 19, 21. If I had to do it all over again, I probably wouldn't have survived. At least I was dumb enough to know I wasn't smart in the ways that I needed to be smart. And I look at my own grandchildren in their mid, early teens, 15 years old or so. I just shake my head and think, you guys have got to stick to it and do the right things and keep going the way you're going. Fortunately, they have a very strong family supporting both of them.
Yes.
I can't imagine if it were different.
Yeah.
We
can't imagine. I mean, I see it. And I believe that this year, and it's all over the world with, you're right, Mary, it's international with youth, whether they're, you know, refugees or struggling or whatever, but they are struggling, and there's got to be a national policy to really focus on our youth. You know, we focused on how to get vaccines out, but I really think there should be now a time where there's policies and procedures to take a look at this and see where they are. Where are they? Where are these kids during the pandemic?
Well,
if they're not in college,
children,
where are they?
Right. And foster children especially, they're not just in a foster home because it's a fun place to be. You know, there are many, many reasons that children are placed in foster care. And a lot of them have no options to go back. There's no going home after the foster care. And I don't think people understand that. And we've had people on our show in the past that were the product of foster system. And they've persevered and done extremely well for themselves. But that's the rare person. It's not normal for a child to be, for whatever reason, taken away from their family and the only family they may know and then put into a pseudo family, if you will. And then they have to adjust. And a lot of times the adjustment is too hard. And so then they go from home to home to home, and it's very people talk about. People talk about how military children have to adjust and adapt because their families are moving every 18 months or every 3 years or whatever. But at least their family is still with them. These foster kids, a lot of times if there are brothers and sisters, they are separated. I know they're getting better about keeping them together. They used to be.
Yes, they are. Yeah, I mean, I've had so many wonderful young people would share their heart and say, you don't know what it's like. I go from one home to the next, and I have to tell my whole story again. I have to tell them who I am, and then I move again. And then I have to say, this is who I am. This is what I like. But on the other side of the coin, some of these youth are so resilient that they, you know, for some reason, they thrive. And those are the kids that this particular program that we're focusing on, the ones that, for some reason, they're thriving, and we want to support them to achieve wherever, you know, and to move on. So that's what we're about. And they do have resiliency.
Well,
there's no doubt about it.
I think they come out like you're saying, they don't really have the skills, that bridge, that gap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see that so often with these children. They're not only are they trying
mm-hmm.
to learn how to function out in the real world without their quote-unquote family, they also haven't had
mm-hmm.
any other life experience that someone that age has had, like how to be a parent, you know, how to be a brother,
yeah.
how to be a sister, you know, how to – it's just their resilience is their – that and the programs like yours are their own, their hope.
Yes. Well, there's also – that's good point, Gene, that's why mentoring, having one person in their life that cares and follows through, right? And social workers, they come and go because I know I was a social worker first in the field for a few years and then did other things within the agency. So, but they've got to have one person, even beyond the system, to check in with them, to care, to love them, to really genuinely care. And that's where I've seen these kids, they blossom. They blossom because someone cares. Not that they're running home to that mentor saying, I need money. No, that mentor is there like a parent. Like a parent saying or questioning, what should I do next, mentor? What should I do now? You know, so that breeds success, to know that someone actually genuinely cares for them and it's consistent during their life. So the mentoring program is an excellent, I mean, I think quite a few agencies have that. I'm not sure, you know, how the mentorship, whether that lasts a long time or not, but that's what they need into their 20s and 30s.
I would imagine a strong mentorship relationship is a lifetime. I know that I'm still
yes.
in touch with some of my mentors and my mentees from 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It goes both ways. It becomes a
yeah.
different kind of relationship.
Yes,
I'm going to take a break,
and
we can come back to this because we've got time to cover two different stories here. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back.
Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on our fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I know? Because I'm Anna. I'm one of the co-hosts. It's a great time. It's a professionally edited weekly series that's free to watch on Be Unique's YouTube channel. That's B-U-N-E-K-E. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode and leave us a comment with your topic or guest recommendations. We love hearing from you.
And like I promised, we are back. I'm Mary. I'm here with Gene and Judith Holbrecht. I want to stutter over your name, and I know I shouldn't. But we've been talking
you said
about,
it right.
We've been talking about, I wanted to talk about Judith's mom, but that's okay. We'll get back to her in a few minutes. I got so fascinated by the nonprofit you founded called Home of Champions. And when we start talking about mentors, I just remembered so many of mine that are still in my life. Now, is this something that you need more of at the Home of Champions or Home of Champions?
Yes, definitely. Me? Yeah, and I think that without a doubt, we need more of them. Every successful person has always had a mentor. And if you look at Foster to Famous, the adults that are very, I mean, these celebrities, okay, that came from the system, they
mm-hmm.
had a mentor. All of them had either one person in their life that made a difference, that brought them to the right path. And Home of Champions is situated on, it was the estate of Floyd Patterson, the training camp of Muhammad Ali, and the training camp of Johansson, Ingmar Johansson. I mean, maybe some people don't know who Patterson is. World champion boxers, Muhammad Ali.
Uh-huh.
And this is the site of Home of Champions. So it's really a sanctuary. And I bring it up because these guys, especially Floyd, came from a very poor family, a mother who, you know, had several children, lived in the South, and when he came up north, he was truant from school. He would, you know, be on the subway hanging out, and finally he went to a boys' school upstate, and it was one teacher that actually, a mentor, you would say, that guided him. Because a kid in class broke his ashtray that he made for his English teacher, and she said, "You have to defend yourself." Well, that was like the beginning of his boxing career.
Wow.
But it was one person, one person, and Floyd became the world heavyweight champion. And Muhammad Ali is another person. So these guys, and the boxing ring is still there, so when students come to our site, they feel it. They hear the stories of, you know, kids that struggle, but it took one person to change their lives. Just one.
That's all. That's all it takes is one.
It takes one. Yes. So
one person can make or break a child. Yes. That was reflected today. Think of the people that hurt me throughout my life and the people that have helped me. Mm-hmm. And one comment, good or bad, can change your
yes.
perspective about who you are until you get to a point. And as children, especially, we're very, when people talk about children being sponges. Well, we're not just talking about 2 and 3 year olds. We're talking about anyone
mm-hmm.
who's in their formative years. And
mm-hmm.
I'm slightly more than 24 years old, just a little bit. But I can tell you, my grandchildren are teenagers, so a little bit more than 24. We're still forming. I think
mm-hmm.
we're forming until the day we die. And how
mm-hmm.
we work together to help each other and nurture each other is so vital to our success as a human being.
Yes. Yes, yes. You know, we're all interconnected. So that's what we have to understand. That's what I've learned, that we're here to learn and grow, and we're all interconnected. And we all share this purpose. And that's why caring and mentoring and love is vital, vital for youth, that especially that bear all this disruption early on. So there might be another kind of system, you know, where they don't go from foster home to foster home. And it used to be, you know, years ago, years and years ago, maybe 100 years ago, they used to have orphanages. Well, everybody was put in this orphanage, right? And then they went
mm-hmm.
to a home. So they all shared, like, you know, a boys' club, a girls' club. So I'm not sure which one is the best, but I only know that it's difficult for them. And mentorship, somebody that cares, at least that is one opportunity that is easy to, you know, it's easy to manage with that kind of a program. And connecting also the older person with the younger people. So intergenerational, there are so many older people that have no one and they're alone.
Yes.
So why not connect the two? Why not connect the two? And I've heard of, and I forget her name, but she's written books. She was adopted at age 42.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, by an older woman in her early 70s or late 60s. And so why not connect those two groups, the older generation that are sitting at home, they have no one. And then connect these kids that, you know, need a home. I mean, certainly they'd be screened and it would be fun. And they would create a family. Why not do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Now, mm-hmm. Homeless Champions, a residential facility?
No, at this time it's not. It is just, we just do workshops on campus. As you know, with properties and with neighborhoods, we have to go through permits. So we're okay with having a week or two camp or workshop on a consistent basis.
Oh, you've got the summit coming up.
It's fine. Yeah, we've had a summit online. We've had summits, but again, it's not. We can continue to have that, but during this time, hopefully towards the end of the summer, we'll get our workshop camp going on, and they're going to learn how to build their own tiny home. So that was already programmed for last summer, and hopefully we can get, you know, a group in to learn that, how to build their own tiny home, and metaphorically how to build their life, the foundation of their life.
When are you planning that? When do you
We hope to do that towards the end of August, beginning of September. And again, these are weekends because a lot of the kids are in school, but they will learn, you know, metaphorically too. It's not just building your material house. It's building, you know, who you are and what does that mean?
Jean, I may have a road trip planned for you.
Well, I was sitting here. I just had had about half planned in my mind. That, yeah, we'll have to broadcast.
You have to come by.
A show from there, definitely.
Well, Jean and I have been talking for some time about taking Be Unique out into the world a little farther out. And actually, this started after COVID lockdown because I guess we all just started wanting to spread our wings more. But he's got some really great ideas of how to bring exposure to other organizations as well as our organization. And that's what we're all about, is connecting the dots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Like you were talking earlier, individual mentors, that we all can mentor each other because we all know how to do things the other ones couldn't learn how to do, nonprofits.
Yes, exactly. So. That's terrific.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we do here is we just try to help the literacy, I think it's the foundation, the adult literacy, I forget what it's called. They have their motto is each one, teach one. And that has stayed with me for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just...
Wow.
Sometimes the words don't come out of my mouth as quick as they're bouncing around in my head. And that's a sign for me that I need to take another quick little break. We'll be right back. And when we come back, I want to talk about somebody who's bodacious and audacious. We'll be right back, folks.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together to change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
Welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in, I am Mary. I'm here with my co-host, Jean. And we're talking with Judith Hallbright, the founder of Home of Champions. And I'm just fascinated by what she's doing for the foster youth in the New York area. But I really want to talk about your mom. And, you know, that used to be the insult when you ask somebody a question, yo mama, Well, I want to talk about yo mama.
Yes.
Why did you write The Audacity to Be Divine?
Mary and Jean, it took 20 years in the making.
I don't feel so bad then.
And I had to take all of her, of course, her life story, and then her lectures and interviewing, you know, many of the people that knew her. So she was in, and the book is, the reason it's The Audacity to Be Divine, A Soul's Journey Towards Illumination. So Mary, my mother, was a New York housewife, also business person, and she got married young, in her early 20s, married a neighborhood boy, and she was disillusioned with marriage, and she couldn't have children because of a botched up surgery, a drug addicted doctor who botched her ovaries. But anyway, that was the beginning of her journey. She was an amazing woman who went through quite a bit of despair, not only within her marriage, with a divorce, but also with her family. And then she had pretty much transformed into a social activist herself, an international organizer, and a spiritual leader. So she was an incredible human being that I witnessed, who transformed into this divine being towards the end of her life. She became transparent, and she was known worldwide, internationally. She co-founded a contemplation for lay people called Chrysalis House. She worked with Father Thomas Keating, who was a monk, also a writer, and also the founder of Contemplative Prayer. So she has
his book.
Life.
I actually I was gifted his book probably 30 years ago, and it's one of my treasured possessions. And I learned so much from that book, because I was raised Catholic, as I'm guessing your mom was, and you probably. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I grew up saying the rosary, you know, doing the God blesses, as we called them. We had like three mm-hmm. prayers that we had to say: Our Father, Hail Mary, Angel of God.
Right.
Unless we were doing the rosary, then we'd throw in the creed, and then at night, God bless Mama, God bless Daddy, God bless blah, 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 blah. And the more we would God bless, the longer we could stay on our knees, because we prayed on our
exactly.
knees at that time. But when I got this book as a gift, I realized that I don't just have to sit there and recite my ABCs to God.
Exactly.
I can talk to God and let him talk back.
Yeah.
And he does. In fact, I recently told Jean about a habit that I get into frequently when my mind is going a million miles an hour, as it tends to do. I'll try to go to sleep, and instead of doing the God blesses, I do the thank yous, and I'll lie there in bed and recite all the things that I'm grateful for, because I have so many things to be grateful for. And I remember loud and clear, I heard somebody say, well, I know you're grateful. You tell me all the time how grateful you are. Could you just be quiet and be with me for a while? I'm like, whoa.
Oh.
So I said, yeah, I can do that. Wait a minute. What's the best way to do that? How do I do it? So then my mind, I'm like that puppy on the cartoon that goes around the big bulldog. Yeah, 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 yeah. Spike is my friend. I can. My mind was going a million miles an hour at trying to do it perfectly. I wanted to just be with God perfectly. And he said, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be. And that was the lesson that I took from this contemplative life of Father Keating. It was just Mm-hmm. So I'm even more in awe of you and your mom now. So continue, carry on. I'm sorry, I bogarted the show.
No, I love that. Yeah, you actually, that's very true. Growing up, that's what we had to do, recite the prayers and all. But, I mean, the 15th century prayer was this contemplative prayer where you just sit, you know, and my mother would start meditating for 4 hours a day. You sit without the chatter of the, you know, that monkey brain that says, yes, well, you got to do this, you got to make coffee, you got to, you know, go next door. So all of that chatter is released or let go of, and then you're in this divine, like you said, Mary, you connect.
Yeah.
And after all those years of practice, this is what happened to her. She was completely transparent before she left the earth. So she went through like the dark night of a soul, you know, all the stuff, the difficulties in life, and then realized that there's an inner world. There's a world that, you know, one can connect with the divine without, you know, that chatter, without, you know, what I learned from my, it's not the material world, it's the spiritual world.
Yeah.
The divine connection. And going in, you know, going in and meditating. And, you know, Father Keating, he wrote a fabulous book, too, called The Divine Therapist. Because God is the divine therapist. And we're all like busy, busy, busy. We're just busy thinking, 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 right? And here,
yeah,
and in the quiet, we hear this, you know, we're all one. We're all one consciousness. So we just have to be quiet and not chatter, you know, with our head, you know, with our thinking all the time. So, and that's what the book is about, this wonderful journey that my mother had. And we all go through this, you know. Life is not easy, and it touches on a lot of different things that we all go through. And then finally, she reaches this incredible transformation that I witnessed. And it was just, in simple terms, love. It was complete love that my mother loved us unconditionally. But when I saw her leave almost, you know, before she left her body, that was like complete love.
Wow.
There was nothing. So the journey, I don't think we all have to go through what she went through, the difficulties, but many of us come in this earth to experience that maybe before we get to this divine, I can't describe it.
It's a moment of transformation and transcendence.
Transformation.
Yes.
The incredible. So
the whole idea is that once you connect, you become part of the divine,
yeah,
and you no longer need this organic, waterlogged rainbow that we drag around, you know?
Yes.
It's gone, it's done, and it's just, the connection is complete, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Gene. And you know what's interesting is the more and more that happened and she became more authentic, even though she was always authentic, that her prayer was truth. So you're right. So she didn't need anything else except that and the love and the truth, that people were stunned by her because she would just come out with the truth about their life in one sentence, you know, in a loving way. And they were like, sure, oh, God, Mary, you're right.
It's very insightful.
Yes, but it wasn't Mary that was the insight. It was the divine coming through her.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would say,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. That would say, like a teacher in a retreat would say to her, you know, Mary, I've been doing this 30 years teaching. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of tired of it. And she would say to the woman, well, put your heart in what you're doing, and then you'll find the answer. And lady said, oh. So, you know, and somebody would come up to her suffering, and then she would say, well, you want to suffer? Then have expectations.
Perfect formula.
So, I mean, yeah, so this is the incredible person that...
Now, are these little tidbits of wisdom in your book?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
And there's an old Buddhist saying that somebody had reviewed the book and said that she really liked that my mother used this a lot. If we think we're gotten to nirvana, well, it's something like, so you've gotten to nirvana, then comes the laundry. I forget how they put it, but all of
I've heard, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually, I grew up with some religious people in my life, you know, some nuns and some, they weren't monks, I guess they were brothers, seminarians. And I remember as probably a newlywed young woman, I mentioned to one of the nuns that I thought they must have had a really great time being in a convent with all women. I had a husband and two sons, so I was surrounded by testosterone. And I felt like being with a bunch of women would just be ideal. And I'll never forget this little woman, no bigger than Mother Teresa. Well, I never met Mother Teresa, so I can't talk about her personality. But Sister David was just a bundle of witticisms, you know. And she said, you think so? You know, some of these young nuns, some of these young nuns, when they come in here and they synchronize their periods, it's not so much fun.
Right.
And I thought, why would a nun say something about that, you know? But she was very much about the honest truth, you know? So don't always, the grass is not always greener. And
exactly.
We all have our lives to fulfill, our path to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And your path may be different from mine, or it may be very similar. We may be walking
mm-hmm.
on parallel paths, but there
mm-hmm.
are points where we veer off. We have to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's where
yeah.
the mentors come in so handy, is because, you know, when the path looks like there's a veering, if there's a mentor
yeah.
or at least one that has been there, that kind of the person can remember, oh, now what would that person have thought I might be looking about, you know, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
It's critical that youngsters just have, they know which way to look, because that's what they're looking for. And as
mm-hmm.
they grow, it's, you know, how to
yeah.
how to go, how to be, you know. They
yeah.
want to be something, be what they want to be. I'm just
mm-hmm.
so excited about having you join us tonight. I've been looking at your information and earlier and talking with you. It's just such an incredible thing that you're doing, this Home of Champions.
Oh, thank you. Well, I hope, you know, Jean, I really do hope that we all kind of grew through this pandemic, and it may have been a good time for many of us to like reevaluate what we're doing, mm-hmm. what I reevaluated what I was doing. And I think that because of the pandemic, I realized that I have to take another step and really get a consortium of these experts on youth to get together to try to figure out what is the best way. So the pandemic's been a blessing because I reevaluated my programming, because mentorship's very important. But also I realized that with my summits, kids don't get on. They're tired of Zooming. So they might like radio you know, getting on podcasts or something with the phone, because mm-hmm. they are not one to go on Zoom all the time. And some of them don't have computers. So this time really was an evaluation of where do we go from here with figuring out how to help them.
I just recently had a 3-day internet outage. And I was surprised at how calm I was. Because typically, you know, you think, oh my gosh, I don't have the internet and my phone has limited data. How am I going to survive for the next whatever? And you don't know how long these outages are going to be sometimes. And I said, oh, but I'm prepared. I have stories I can write or edit or stories I can read on my other drive. I don't need to be on the internet all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I felt very much at peace by changing what I was doing. And it's a great mm-hmm. opportunity to get up and go outside. And yeah. as I mentioned before the show, at the beginning of the show, you know, it was raining for the last couple of days. I love to go stand on the porch and just let the rain come. And as long as it's not too strong of a lightning, I'll stand out there for a while and just soak up Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that, you're right. I mean, that's a very good point. Just to teach kids that to be connected with nature, to be connected with the moon, a full moon, mm-hmm. right? To find joy in living other than what they're going through, you know, to find joy in nature and in something other than what they're experiencing. So,
and that's where your mentors come in with your foster children.
Yes.
Having someone who's had some experience be able to say, mm-hmm. yes, it does feel like the end of the world, but guess what? Mm-hmm. It's not.
And we're all interconnected, yes.
Yeah, we're all in this.
I'm
not even talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about this life. We mm-hmm. all came here
yes.
with one thing to do. Our end goal is to die. And in between everything that we do that can bring forth joy, if it's bringing me joy, it will bring you joy.
Yes.
And, I mean, have you ever not laughed along with a laughing baby?
Yes.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you ever
Absolutely.
See a child just giggling for all it's worth, you can't help but
mm-hmm.
laugh along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that joy is pure and innocent. I think when a baby's laughing, there's a piece of the divine right there in it. There's a piece of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The angels are singing
yes.
and tickling. I believe the angels are probably tickling that kid and just going, you know, you're just so cute, I have to tickle you. Or they may be kissing the baby, but it's so much fun to watch a baby laugh. And even more when their child is a little bit shy and then breaks out into laughter. It's like, oh, I can do that still. I can still laugh. And
yes.
I think adults forget to laugh a lot of times. We
yes.
get caught up. And my mm-hmm. husband is the king of puns. Oh, heavens to Betsy. I still remember the one he told me Monday, which I can't believe I remember it. I'll ask you, Judith, what do you call a
yes.
Frenchman who gets mauled by a lion?
I don't know.
Claude.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
And for the longest time, he would come and torture me with these puns.
Oh,
and I don't
yeah.
I don't
well,
mind if they're funny, but I
right.
do not laugh. I bite my tongue to not laugh when there's
specific grammatical errors in them on purpose.
Right.
and this one was grammatically incorrect because the word is not spelled like the name. But
it
was funny, and I remembered it, you know, 4 days later, which blows my mind. And, you know, it brings him so much joy when I finally break down and laugh. He'll throw a pun, a pun, a pun, a pun, and then finally I'll laugh, and he's like, I gotcha.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're not that funny. It's part of the game. Don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh. Okay, now reward him with a laugh.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Wow. Well, I'm going to hit one more commercial, and then we're going to finish up the show by telling everybody where they can find you and read your book. We'll be right back, folks.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a show I've done before. I've got to stop that one.
Oh. I got my recorder.
I got it covered.
No, I don't.
Learn why people around the world listen to Be Unique Radio.
That's the one.
Join host Anna East on her exciting new podcast, Here I Am, live every other Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, where she embraces the changes of the world and within, bringing you back to who you really are. Become a sponsor or be a guest and put your message in front of our growing global audience. Guests are booking months in advance, so don't delay. Join the show live after 8 p.m. Or you can send Anna an email at annaeastx@gmail.com for details. Great show, great perspective.
Ah, yeah, I forgot about that commercial. That is a great show. And Anna is actually now in Hong Kong working as a Disney princess. She's just one of our Be Uniquers, and we love her to pieces. But we also love you, Judith. You are just phenomenal.
And thank you.
I can't tell you. I look forward to actually getting your book and reading it. I look forward to learning more about Home of Champions. I'm thinking I'm going to have one of our writers reach out and do an article about your nonprofit.
Because, thank you.
Yeah, that's now, would they contact you, or is there someone else they should contact about?
No, they can contact me.
Okay.
That's awesome. I mean, because you're building a whole like team of mentors for the kids coming up behind all these guys.
Yes.
Wow. Pretty awesome. All right.
Thank you.
So where can I know that Home of Champions is Home of Champions at ny.org.
Yes. It's right, the Home of Champions ny.org. And the book is on Amazon.
Okay.
Or it's on, you could see it's on Barnes & Noble. You can get it pretty much, and it's distributed in several stores. But if you go to Amazon, you can definitely get it.
It's called The Audacity to Be Divine.
Yes, The Audacity to Be Divine.
I love that word, audacity.
Yes, my mother had it.
And I have a feeling she was a bodacious, audacious woman.
Yes, she was. And red high heels and a red dress, so.
Of course. There's nothing shy about her. And red is the Holy Spirit's color anyway.
Yeah. That was Mary. And you're Mary, too, so. You know.
Yes, I am. And my dearest friend of over 40 years, her name is also Mary. There's just something about Mary, yeah. I guess.
I know. It's very
Isn't
powerful
a song?
Name.
Something About Mary?
Oh,
yeah, there was a
there
movie.
There is a song.
Oh,
yeah.
There's a movie.
A movie or a song.
I know that. Oh. So is there anything that you would like to make sure that our listeners know about before we say goodbye?
Just that I wish everyone a wonderful Mother's Day. And a mother could be a mentor,
an aunt, anyone that touched your life, loved you and cared for you. So I wish every mother, mentor, the most happiest celebration on Sunday.
Thank you.
That's my message. So
awesome.
And Jean and I like to leave with parting words, and I tricked you into giving us your parting words without calling them that, because I found sometimes if I say parting words, people think, oh, I'm in the spotlight. I have something to say. I don't know what to say. mine are very simple, and I say them all the time because this is how I live my life.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you do, no matter where you are, no matter who you see, be kind, because you do not
yes.
know what that other person is going through.
Yes.
And that serves me so well in life, because I try to put myself in someone else's shoes, or lack
mm-hmm.
of shoes, depending on the situation.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I just feel like every instance in life can stand a little more kindness.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and that certainly goes along with my line of thinking, that while I'm out there feeling the same way about kindness, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right.
That's right.
That's crazy. That's right.
I think you can figure out some fun about it. Just
I like that.
Do it.
Oh, Judas, I challenged him one day. We were talking about that, and I challenged him to explain to me how cleaning my toilets could be fun.
Oh, you should read the book.
Oh, I do want to read the book, but let me tell you.
Nice.
It has toilets.
Jean told me, and I forget, someone else later told me another story. Jean's story was funny because he used to be, a park ranger. Jean's like me. He used to be something everywhere. He's very diverse in his span.
Oh, yeah.
And
been saving the world all over the place.
Having fun.
He used to take a pressure hose to clean the bathrooms. And it, of course, to him as a younger man, it was a lot more fun. So when I'm cleaning my toilets now, I think, well, at least I don't have to take a hose to it. You know, I can just swish it out, and it's not that hard. And,
the ripple effect.
Yeah. Well, somebody told me, and I don't know who it was, but it'll come to me after I hit the off button, about a young monk who challenged people to tell him that life wasn't fun, everything he did. But he would clean the toilets, and he never thought of them as, I am having to clean the toilet. He thought, nobody's going to bother me while I'm in here talking to God. So
yeah.
While I'm talking
yes.
to God, I might as well clean the toilet too.
Yeah, exactly.
What a great idea.
That's the truth. Everywhere and everywhere, everything, exactly.
Yeah, we can find ways to make life what we want it to be. And it's really easier than people think.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
We talked earlier about the voice of God, and we were discussing your mother and her contemplative life. And it was... I had his name in my head a minute ago. Maybe it'll come back. One of the prophets went up to the mountain to try to find God, Elijah, I think it was, to try to find God. And God did not come in the storm. He did not come in the hurricane. He did not come in the fire. And there were all these weather phenomenons, and he kept thinking, well, God's going to be in this. God's going to be in that. But when he sought shelter inside a cave and got quiet, that's where God was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that quiet moment. And I've often heard people say that God is in the space between the words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Judith, I feel honored that I've spoken with you tonight and gotten to know a little bit more about your mother through you. And I'm very eager to read the book and learn more about her and I know that Father Keating gave her eulogy, so that gives me warm fuzzies right there.
Yeah.
I really could stay here and talk a lot longer, but it's been a great show, and I appreciate you being here, but I do want to respect your time and Jean's time. So I'm going to say goodnight, everybody.
See
good
you
night.
Then.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you so much, Judith.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you, Mary Jean.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.